drew the brakes on cars and the steering knuckles on cars and the metal rims that the tires mount on. That was my area of expertise. And so I was going home from work in my engineering job, and I noticed the car in front of me was swerving and driving crazy. Well, you know, when a car starts going off its lane, you start getting very cautious and you start backing up. And so that's what I did. But what I noticed was this car had a flat tire. And this driver, normally when you get a flat tire, you pull over to the side and you change your tire or you slow down. But this car was going full speed with a flat tire. Now, the place where we were driving in Michigan, in Detroit, was a four-lane freeway, but I knew that as this freeway traveled on, there were freeways that went off, and the freeway got smaller and smaller to eventually you come to a traffic light at the end. And so this man is just driving at highway speed with a flat tire. And so I'm staying back from him, but next thing you know, a tire comes flying off. And this man is driving on the metal rim on the freeway trying to go full speed. Now, this is where the unwise part comes in, because I am just fascinated by this car going down the freeway. See, because in my job, I had to draw these parts, but then I had to test them on the computer to see what would make them be destroyed. And I'm thinking, how cool is this? I can watch an example of a car part that I draw being destroyed. And Troy's back there saying, no, bad idea. So I keep following. And there's flames jumping up, and next thing you know, a metal rim goes rolling by my car going down the road. And the car is starting to slow down now, because those of you who know about cars, there's a metal disc, it's called a disc brake, and the car's rolling on this metal disc, and flames and sparks are shooting up, and I'm even more fascinated now. And pieces are flying off the car, and the car, of course, is slowed down, so I can't pass. And guess what? Now the police cars are involved. Because, you know, even though they didn't have cell phones as common back then, they had CB radios, and the police cars are now coming in. And I'm glad to see them. But this man was not stopping. I don't know what his deal was, but he was still trying to go full speed. And those police cars were coming next to him, coming behind him, and they had the lights flashing, the sirens going, parts are flying off the car, and he wasn't stopping. Next thing you know, that metal disc, that's the brake, is starting to come off the car too. And here's what went through my mind, is they have got to stop that car before it gets to that traffic light. If that car makes it to that traffic light, and this guy's driving the way he's driving right now, he's going to go right through that light and boom, T-bone somebody. And it's going to be bad. And I think the police knew that too. And what they did was they got in front of him. They got a car, they got in front of him, and they got a bumper in front of his car and had a car on each side, car in front of them, and they slowed that car. And it was not more than 50 feet before they got to that traffic light. They busted the window out. They dragged him out. I mean, that was some hot pursuit. And I was just fascinated by the destruction of the part that I drew. And so I was watching all of this. But those police officers did a great job, and they knew the consequences of their pursuit and if they weren't able to stop that car in time. And they did what they needed to do. What I want to talk to you about tonight is not much different than the story I just told. There's another equally intense pursuit going on in our lives. You and I are driving at breakneck speed through life, aware that there's something more powerful chasing us. It's God. God is pursuing us. And like the man who saw the police cars coming and continued to drive faster and faster, it didn't make any sense, but somehow we think that we still need to drive faster and faster anyway. And like the driver I saw, where we knew destruction was coming of that car, he still drove anyway. We all know what's coming after us. We know that God is pursuing us. We know that God is right behind us. God will not let us go, but we keep running anyway. Now, some of you might say, what are we running from? And what is God pursuing us about? And some of you would answer that this way, that God is pursuing us to be actively involved in our church. And I would say no. Or God is pursuing us to be committed to knowing the Bible. And I would say no. Although those are great things, those are awesome things, but God is pursuing us to have a relationship with him. Now, if somebody was chasing you, there's probably two things you're going to do if you know you can't turn around and beat them up, right? And so if somebody's chasing you, there's two things you're going to do. You're going to either keep running and hope to put some distance between you and them, or you're going to go into hiding and hope that they can't find you. And that reminds me of another story of being pursued. And my dad, who was a preacher, used to tell this, so I hope I don't mess this story up, but being pursued. He told the story about these two teenage boys that liked to go hiking in the Smoky Mountains. They grew up in the Smoky Mountains, and they liked to hike for whole weekends at a time. And their favorite thing to do was to go into caves, check out. If they found a cave, they went in there and they checked it out to see what was inside. And so they were best of friends, and they went everywhere together. So they went into this cave, and what they did not realize in this cave, there was a bear in there. And they had roused this bear up, and this bear came running out and was chasing them. And they had a little bit of a lead on it, and they started running as fast as they could. Both of them were equally skilled at running, and they were running along. And next thing you know, one of them stopped. He bent over, and he started tying his shoe. And his friend turned around and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm tying my shoe." He said, "Are you crazy? The bear is going to eat you." He says, "Oh, I don't have to worry about the bear. All I have to do is worry about beating you." And that's what he said. So he was being pursued by the bear, but he was more worried. He said, "All I got to do is not making sure I get faster than you, because the bear is going to come get you." In being pursued, there's two basic responses that you can do. Either we can keep running and trying to get away from God, or we can try to put distance between us and God. Just know this, whichever method you choose, God is pursuing a love relationship with you, that it's real and personal, and he's not going to give up. Many people take the first choice, to run from God, hoping to put more and more distance between themselves and God. Some run deeper and deeper into the woods. They run from God by pouring themselves into carnal things of life, a faithless life, indulging themselves. Maybe they throw themselves into their work, into their hobbies. They ignore God's commands. They fly in the face of all that God has made for us. This is the way most of the world runs from God. Most run from God by doing whatever they feel like doing. They break God's commandments. They ignore God's will. Then murder, theft, robbery, adultery, cheating. What else is new? It's not exactly news. This has been around for a very long time. And there's a very precise term for what they do. It's called sin. Sin is anything that separates us from God, and sin is the thing that the human heart rises up and rebels against God. People are running away from him. Sin means a separation from God. Sin is violating God's law and running from him. But do you know what? The more that we run away from God, the more he pursues us. The more that we fight against God, the more he comes after us in love. Did you know the more we spit in the very face of God, the more he reaches out? When God chastises us, it's because he loves us. I'd like for you to turn your Bible and listen to Jeremiah's account of what happened in Jeremiah 46, 28. Jeremiah 46, 28. We're going to look at how God pursued someone, how God pursued Jacob, but chastised him at the same time. Jeremiah 46, 28. And you, my servant Jacob, do not be afraid. The Lord's declaration, for I will be with you. I will bring destruction on all the nations where I have banished you. I will not bring destruction on you. Listen to this part, though. I will discipline you with justice, but I will by no means leave you unpunished. Meaning, when God pursues us, whether it's for something good or something bad, it's always because he loves us. That's because it's in God's nature to love. We just don't always see it as love. Sort of like when you have to correct your children, they don't always see that as love. Mark it down. When you see a person who appears to be bent on destroying his or her own life, then you're also seeing a person who God is pursuing. And God is not going to give up on them. God is not going to stop caring about them. Now, what spoke to me about that part was, this is the hard part, at least for me. If God's not going to quit pursuing them, if God doesn't give up on them, then why should you and I? Sometimes we look at people and we say, well, there's just not a whole lot we can do about them. They've made their choice. We're done here. And that's not the way God operates. God is pursuing a love relationship with us that's real and personal. God does not give up. How do we know this? Well, let's see. God sent his son to die for you and I. What other better way can God show a personal and love relationship for us? We see it in the Old Testament. How many times did you see Israel turning its back on God only to be captured and put into servanthood of another nation? And then God comes forward asking for that relationship and restores Israel and that relationship. And it happens over and over again in the Old Testament. God pursues a loving relationship. That's how much God pursues us. I really like a song. And this song, for those of you who are young, you may not recognize this song because this song is 85 years old. I went back and looked and see how old this song, because when I was a kid, they would sing this song. It's called I'd Rather Have Jesus. It was written by Ray F. Miller, but most of you who know this song would credit George Beverly Shea because he added the tune to it. But it's 85 years old, written in 1922. But listen to the words of this song as he describes a choice between things of this world and God's pursuit of him. It goes like this. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit desires. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead. And then here's the chorus. Than to be a king of a vast domain or to be held in sin's dread sway, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. We've been given a choice whether or not to accept God pursuing us. Before we go to the next part where we talk about another way that God pursues us and how we resist it by hiding, I want us to watch a video. Mr. Jerry Potts recorded this. He's a great guy. If you haven't had a chance to meet him, I really appreciate Mr. Potts. And we're going to see that video of his testimony. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Jerry. You don't know me by now. You may have seen me around the church. Brother Ken Metcalf had asked me to share my testimony of how the second reality of experiencing God has affected my life. God pursues a continuous love relationship with you that is real and personal. Now, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior just before my 10th year. But after that time, I really didn't grow spiritually. I considered myself a spiritual babe, and really it followed me into my adult years. I was a defeated Christian. It seems that I always had a checklist, a laundry list of things that I needed to do in order to please God. And it was like I was on a spiritual roller coaster ride. I'd have my highs and I'd have my lows. But don't you know, all that changed when I was 30 years old. God brought some people into my life that opened up my mind to loving and getting into the Word of God. One of those ladies I think about was Miss Anna Vera Black. She had started a new Sunday school class for young couples, and she had invited me and my wife to be a part of it. I can remember Miss Anna Vera, 50-something years as a second grade teacher. She would come into that classroom with a legal pad and begin to share the lesson. And I asked her after class, I said, "Miss Black, I don't know where you're getting this information. I'm reading the lesson, but I'm not seeing this information that you're sharing with us. And I want to know where it comes from." And she said, "Jerry, it comes from a commentary." And I said, "Well, Miss Black, what's a commentary?" And she told me it was from Matthew Henry. And so I went out and bought a set of commentaries, and I began to fall in love with the Word of God. And I want you to know that radically changed my mind. From the age of 30, I began reading through the Bible every year. And as I studied the Bible, I realized that there were heroes of the faith, Hebrews 11 speaks of, that they had done a lot worse than I had in my life, and yet God pursued them. He loved them so much, and he continually sought them and wanted to use them in special ways. I looked at the life of Moses and of David and Solomon, how they had fallen, but God used them so mightily. I looked in the New Testament at how God was able to use Peter and the Apostle Paul and all those others. And it hit me that God wanted to use me, that he had been pursuing me. And so I began to dig deeper and deeper and just fell in love, recognizing that God was pursuing me and loved me unconditionally. I remember reading a poem written by a 17th century English poet by the name of Francis Thomas. It was a 181-line poem, and the title of it he had given was The Hound of Heaven. And it spoke of how God pursued, out of love, unconditional love, how he pursues mankind. And that's how I look at God. I think of him as the Hound of Heaven. I know when I was a little boy, my dad and I raised and trained beagle hounds. We taught them to hunt for rabbits. And at one time, we had 13 beagle hounds. And I recall, although it was 55 years ago, I recall how those dogs, when we would take them out of the pen and prepare them for a hunting trip, how their hearts would begin to pound, how excited they would get. And we would take them out to the fields and turn them loose. And those dogs would go every direction. But I want you to know, when they crossed a path where they picked up the scent of a rabbit, the pursuit was on. They chased that rabbit with all of their being. And that's why I looked at God as the hound of heaven, as I recall those dogs and the hunting trips, that God pursues us for a continuous, wants to love us, and unconditionally he pursues us continuously, that we might have this relationship with him, this special relationship. So my hope and prayer, even as Brother Ken shares the message this evening, is we'd all be open to hear God's voice as he calls for us. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Appreciate that. I want to go to our second point, that God tries to pursue each of us into a personal and loving relationship, and the world will try to put distance between themselves and God by trying to run away from God. But I want to talk to you about something different. There's another way to escape God. In addition to running into open sin, some of us try to hide from God. Some of us hide in our own goodness. Some of us use our goodness as a way to keep clear of God. That our God pursues us not only, God pursues us as we try to run from him, but he also tries to pursue us as we try to hide from him. And God does not give up. Do you know that some of us try to avoid God by being good as we can? Some of us also try to earn our salvation, although we would never call it earning our salvation. Some of us think of just trying to be good citizens or decent people or stay out of trouble or keep on the right side of the law. And then we say, well, we're pretty good. We're okay. We're better than most. God will just have to send us to heaven because we're pretty good folks. We're such nice people. But I say that some of us are not so much running from God as we're trying to hide from God, sort of camouflaging ourselves in our own goodness. And we're not having a real relationship with God. I have to say a word tonight to those who are church folks, who have always been in church, like myself. And that's just what decent people do. We have to say a word to those of us who have hung around the church all our lives. But we have this dirty little secret, and that is some of us have never let God get close to us. We've never permitted God to permeate through the thicket of our defenses and get close and personal and have a personal relationship with him. We're hiding from God. We're hiding behind the walls of respectability and conventional goodness, and even though some of us are hiding right in the church. Some of those folks are faithfully here tonight. Maybe they're here out of habit. Maybe they're here out of relationships. I love my Sunday school class, or I love the people that I've known for years. But some of them don't have a relationship. From the earliest days in my life, I went to Sunday school. My dad was either a head deacon or the associate pastor or the main pastor. And so I would be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, deacons' meetings, weddings, funerals, trustee meetings, shovel the snow at the church. I was there all the time. And I was a good kid. Most people say really good kid. But God was pursuing a personal relationship. I couldn't just hide in the church. I could probably fool a lot of people, but I couldn't fool God. He had pursued me, he had chased me, and finally he had caught up with me and found me, and he wanted a loving relationship. Do you know that you can be in the church all the time? You can be teaching a Sunday school class. You can be in fellowship, in good fellowship with all your Christian friends, and still not have a relationship with God. Are you aware that we can put on a mask and look good and pose as pious and proper and still be out of touch with the heart of God? We try to avoid that intense, personal, real, face-to-face encounter with a living God, and that's hiding. That's our camouflage. But I have good news. God's pursuing us. Not only pursuing us, only the blatantly sinful and rebellious, God's also pursuing those of us who are hiding within the church walls. God pursues a love relationship even with those who hide from him under the cloak of respectability. God doesn't want mere names on the church roll or church membership. He wants fellowship with us. And that's what he pursues, and he doesn't give up. You know, some of you will say, well, God really won't want me now. You know, I'm pretty old. God, I don't really want to change, and God really won't want me now. And that's not true, because 1 John 4:19 says, we are loved because God loved us first. So it's time to quit coming. Time to quit hiding, time to quit running, time to decide to have a personal relationship with God if you don't have one already. God pursues us, and we see that in the scripture, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God pursues us just like he pursues his sheep and takes care of them. God pursues us with his love. God pursues us with his peace. God pursues us in a loving relationship by sending his son to die on a cross for us. And why did Jesus come to the earth? To seek and save those who are lost. What I'd like for you to pray about tonight is two things. And we're going to spend a few minutes doing that. I want you to pray about, God, show me the ways that you love me. I really don't want you to pray, God, let me tell you the ways that you love me. Because that's the way sometimes I pray. Hey, God, let me give you my list of things that are on my mind. It's really hard to say, God, tell me what you want me to hear. So if you would pray, God, show me the ways that you love me. The second thing, God, show me the ways you love this church. God, show me the ways you love this church. So let's go ahead and just take a minute where you're at and go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the ways that you love me. Thank you for loving me even when I don't follow you and pursue you, even when I don't put what I should into the relationship. Thank you for not giving up on me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. Not this church building, but this church. This group of Christian believers that follow you. Thank you for all the blessings that you give to us, that you bestow upon us, even the ones we don't see. These things we pray. Amen. I want to leave you with something, and I really want to give a time of invitation. And I know I'm not a smooth speaker. I'm not nearly as polished as Pastor Mike, and he makes it flow out so much easier. But I want to share this with you. God is an aggressive pursuer of man, but never at the expense of the freedom we have to say no. He will pursue until your last breath, and then comes the judgment. I want to read that again. Those aren't my words. I found it, and I said, wow, that is really good. And so I wrote it down, and I wanted to share it with you. I'll read it again. God is an aggressive pursuer of man, but never at the expense of freedom we have to say no. He will pursue you until your last breath, and then the judgment. Some of you have a relationship with God. Some of you are trying to run and put distance. Some of you are here within the church walls and have no relationship with God, but you're really good people. But we really need for you to have a relationship with God. We're going to have a word of prayer, and I think Jeff is going to play something on the piano, if you would. And if you feel as though you need to come forward tonight, the pastor will be up here. I'll be up here. If you want to just come and pray, if you want to come for any reason,